I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hey, it's Joe Beamer. On a little earlier today, in for David Bellavia. Stefan Mihailu will be in for me at 1 o'clock, and Tom will be in for Tom at 3. So that is your lineup on this Friday, and we welcome in Erie County GOP Chairman Michael Crocker. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Joe. Good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yesterday, Congressman Tim Kennedy continued his push against ICE with another press conference, this time even mentioning impeaching Kristi Noem.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, talk about tone deaf. This is the same week that a constituent of Senator or Congressman Kennedy is under investigation for threatening to kill an ICE officer. She tried to get a gun and said she wanted to kill ICE officers. And how does Congressman Kennedy respond? He goes to a university and inflames anti-police rhetoric even further. He goes onto a college campus to talk about impeaching a cabinet secretary, defunding law enforcement, and rallying people to make this situation even more volatile. A responsible, serious elected official would be trying to de-escalate this situation and make sure that we can act responsibly. And if Tim Kennedy has a problem with our immigration laws, why doesn't he just do his damn job and fix them? He is in Congress. He has the ability to make the changes, but instead he wants to do the Chuck Schumer impersonation and get in front of every TV camera he can. It's an unfortunate reality. I think it makes a bad situation worse. And I think it's pretty clear that Tim Kennedy has forgotten where he comes from.
You know, to that point, I mean, are there any local Democrats who are trying to tone down the rhetoric? Because right now, as you said, the rhetoric against law enforcement, especially ICE, I mean, it just seems like it's ramping up every day.
Well, look, I mean, I'll take it and take some responsibility here to say we should be. And I think it's very clear to say I have no problem as a Republican Party leader saying the incident in Minneapolis should not have happened. Nobody can expect that the outcome that federal law enforcement wants is the loss of life, certainly from American citizens. So we need to reflect, and I think you see the President of the United States reacting to making sure we can reassess the situation and make sure that ICE is able to do the job that they've been tasked with doing and enforcing our laws, but in a safer way for ICE, law enforcement, and the public. So that's a responsible position that President Trump is taking and that Republicans have supported. But I would certainly welcome Democrats to be a part of trying to tone down rhetoric. Certainly, we saw this in the wake of George Floyd, where their reaction was simply to go after law enforcement officers and call for defunding police. They clearly learned nothing from that situation. Eliminating law enforcement is not going to solve this problem. But I also have to question why Canisius College or Canisius University played host to this event. I've been in government and politics for a long time, and I know that oftentimes college campuses are suspect to get involved in things that they feel is political. And in fact, I think I've even attempted to work with Canisius University to plan press events, and they've said we'd rather not touch that issue. But here they're welcoming Congressman Kennedy to campus to talk about calling for the resignation of a cabinet secretary, defunding a law enforcement agency, and making a bad situation worse. And I would just wonder, are the men and women who are saving up and working overtime shifts to pay tuition at that university, or the students who are taking on debt to pay the tuition at that university, is that what they're spending their money for? I don't think so.
Don't you find that, though, Chairman, with a lot of universities, they either cancel or don't invite the conservatives on, but it doesn't seem to be a problem for liberals to get on campus?
Oh, I mean, I think there's absolutely a double standard. These groups will welcome left-wing politicians or left-wing speakers to campus, and you've seen it at University of Buffalo. You've seen it at other college campuses about how difficult it is to get conservative voices on campus, but they'll roll out the red carpet to allow Tim Kennedy to come to Canisius and talk about defunding the police inside a campus building. I think if I were a Canisius College parent, student, alumni, donor, I would be on the phone asking why that was allowed to take place at Canisius University. Does the university support Congressman Kennedy's political rally taking place inside their walls? I myself have left a message for the university. As soon as I saw that, I reached out to them. Haven't heard anything back. I've spoken to elected leaders here in Western New York who are graduates of Canisius, and I know they're upset about this. But again, I think ultimately, why a member of Congress who has the ability to fix our laws is instead trying to make it harder for law enforcement to do their jobs, make it less safe for the public, instead of actually going to Washington and getting something done.
You know, on that point, on Hardline Sunday, Tom Puckett was filling in for me and Mark Poloncarz was on, and he made the comment that, you know, ICE isn't in states like Florida and Texas, but they're in Minneapolis, which is just not true. I mean, it's spreading misinformation. And again, I think it's ramping up the rhetoric instead of the truth being that, you know, Florida and Texas are working with ICE agents for their deportations. I think the spreading of misinformation is also getting us to this high level of rhetoric against law enforcement.
Yeah, I think, as I said yesterday, this is a serious problem and it requires serious leaders to address it. Unfortunately, in many ways, Congressman Tim Kennedy has shown he's not willing to be a serious voice in this discussion. These states are working with ICE. New York has made a decision. Minnesota has made a decision to be a sanctuary state. And on top of that, welcome these non-U.S. citizen immigrants to our community, many of whom are violent criminals. Mark Poloncarz welcomed these folks to Western New York years ago. And what did we see immediately? We saw rapes, sexual assaults, thefts, and violence. And now when the immigration law enforcement is attempting to do their best to remove violent criminals from our communities, Tim Kennedy is taking to college campuses to make their job more difficult. And again, I just think it's important to recognize Tim Kennedy grew up in a law enforcement community. South Buffalo is a community that is very proud of their connection to law enforcement and fire and first responders. So these are, you know, his neighbors. These are people that he grew up with, people that he went to school with, who he's demonizing and making their jobs less safe. And I just don't understand, you know, his quest to rise to the ranks in the far left of Washington. In that path and in that mission, he's abandoning his roots as a Western New Yorker from South Buffalo who grew up with the men and women who are protecting this community, and he's making their jobs more difficult and less safe, and in turn making the entire community less safe.
Chairman, I'd like to know, like to get your thoughts on the executive order, the first executive order by the new mayor on barring city helping with ICE agents.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, Sean Ryan is who he said he was going to be. We knew that he was going to be, you know, Western New York's Zohran Mamdani in the way he governs. And he's not been outdone by the mayor of New York City. He's been every bit as left wing as Zohran Mamdani in making Buffalo a sanctuary city 2.0 with this executive order. I think is ridiculous. I think it sends the wrong message. And I think it was interesting that he did it during the same week he was also attempting to reopen an agreed-upon memorandum of understanding with the Buffalo Police Department. So the same week he's attempting to take away benefits of the men and women of the BPD who protect and serve this city, he is also making it harder for them to do their jobs and harder for them to cooperate with a federal law enforcement agency. And he was flanked by Assemblyman John Rivera and Assemblyman Pat Burke, another South Buffalo native who has turned his back on law enforcement. I suspect they have also embraced the Buffalo Sanctuary City 2.0 policies of Sean Ryan. And I think voters in this community need to recognize this is a community, I think, that values law and order. We support our police. We believe in protecting the rule of law. And whether it's Sean Ryan or Pat Burke or Tim Kennedy or Mark Poloncarz, they have shown that they oppose law enforcement when it really matters. They love talking with the PBAs to get their endorsements, to get their PAC checks. But when it comes to enacting policies to support law enforcement, they're never with them when it counts.
Speaking of that, we've got a big special election coming up on Tuesday, and a few days ago, we got a letter and a press conference about Democrats for Dan Gagliardo. How's the campaign going?
Yeah, I think we have a great opportunity here to elect a state senator who is not part of this partisan system. Dan Gagliardo is not somebody who came up through the ranks inside party politics. He's an outsider. He's a job creator, a businessman. He has created hundreds of jobs here in Western New York. And what I admire about Dan is, you know, when he agreed to run for this office, he said, you know, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do the work, but I want to do it my way. And I want to do it about the things that I care about. He didn't tell me, Chairman, what am I supposed to say? He said, I'm going to run because I believe we need to represent people of all political affiliations. We need somebody in Albany who's willing to work across the aisle, doesn't care who he's going to work with or what their party affiliation is, as long as it gets the job done for Western New York. So Dan Gagliardo is the kind of guy who recognizes that compromise shouldn't be a bad word in government. He fits this district well. He's a working man who wants to go to Albany to represent working people. And I encourage folks, February 3rd is coming up quick. This is the final weekend of early voting, Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 9 p.m. And Tuesday, polls are open at your usual polling place from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And people have to get out and elect Dan Gagliardo in this election.
And 9 p.m. we'll have special coverage right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Before we let you go, we've got to ask you about the big article in Politico about County Executive Mark Poloncarz and his new Political Action Committee.
That's President Poloncarz, I think.
If you're sorry, you're right.
Around
you're
the right. RAF building. I think this is what, 15 years of being county executive will do to you. He's been surrounded by yes men for nearly two decades and has bought in to, the pageantry of the office. There's not anybody in the world who takes this seriously. I got more laughing emojis texted to me with this link from people across the political spectrum. I understand what he's doing. He wants to raise his profile to try to get himself in line for a cabinet position. He's pretty much abandoned any efforts to really be a serious leader of this county. And at this point is clearly all about advancing himself further up the political ladder. It's no surprise. Everybody in Western New York knows Mark really does have the biggest ego in politics. But unfortunately, I think this is one where everybody sees this for what it is. It certainly provided a lot of good humor, not just to Republicans, but to a lot of Democrats here in Western New York. And I suspect this PAC is going to do more to fund airfare and lodging than it is to actually get votes in Iowa and New Hampshire. So I wish him well in this effort, but I don't think we're going to be seeing President Poloncarz moving into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue anytime soon.
All right, are you saying the other campaign funds have already been used for travel and lodge, so you needed to start a new one?
Hey, you know, God bless, this is America, free enterprise, but I don't think we're going to be swearing him in January of 2029. I think this is a vanity effort, and God bless, but I wouldn't be buying stock in President Poloncarz on Polymarket if I were a savvy investor.
If they're listening to Zellner's people, it might be on there as Mike Poloncarz, so you might not even get the right name.
Yeah. I thought that was a little bit too much of an encroachment on me here, so I'm going to stick to Mark Poloncarz and keep that going.
Speaking of Poloncarz, I'm sure I will ask you this a million times between now and 27, but obviously that is a seat that will be up next year. I mean, we've got midterms. You've got a special election. You're a busy guy. But, I mean, do you have your visions? Have you started thinking about the county executive position and candidates to run?
Well, I can tell you one of the things that I wanted to do when I got elected chairman was build the bench for the Erie County GOP. We had a lot of great leaders. But as you know, the years turn over, you got to make sure you're putting new faces on the board paired with your already existing group of elected leaders. And I'm very proud to say, I think our party in Erie County is stronger today. We have a lot of really talented leaders. And unfortunately for me as county chairman, that means only one of them can be your candidate for county executive. But on the upside, we have a great group of talent for which to consider. And that race will be here quickly. The party's going to be thinking about that this year while also executing some important campaigns here in 2026, including the big one statewide. But you have to be able to walk and chew bubblegum in this role. And we are already thinking, looking ahead to 2027 to make sure we're prepared for what is a critical office, and making sure we have the best candidate possible to win that seat.
Chairman Michael Crocker, I've only got one more question, and that's how you staying warm with these minus, 20 wind chills.
Just watching the Sabres games, right? That's all I need. That'll keep you warm at night, is Buffalo Sabres winning hockey games.
That is true. That is true. Always great to catch up with you, Michael, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Joe.
That is GOP, Erie County GOP Chairman Michael Crocker, talking about Tim Kennedy and his press conference yesterday. Again, this will be the second press conference he's had talking about abolishing ICE. He had that press conference with Al Green and other members of Congress in D.C. a few weeks ago. Yesterday, he had the press conference not only wanting to get rid of ICE, but wanting to impeach Kristi Noem. Again, this anti-law enforcement rhetoric that we are seeing from Democrats, and not all. I mean, you got to be fair. I mean, John Fetterman has been speaking out against this party, and he's one of the most popular members of Senate right now. But again, you've got the congressman, you've got the county executive, who's again, and I know I'm repeating myself, just spreading false information. That you've got people that will eat that up, and they'll go to Instagram and they'll post memes and they'll talk about not going to work today to stand up to ICE. But the county executive said that ICE isn't in states like Florida and Texas, and it's just not true. It's just not true. They are. But they have cooperation. They don't have the mayor or the governor saying to stand up to ICE. Now, again, I don't think anyone should be dead for protesting. I don't want to see anyone die. And I don't think anyone wants to see anyone die, right? But there's a reason there's chaos in Minnesota and not chaos in Florida and Texas. It's because law enforcement's working with law enforcement in deporting the illegal immigrants that are in this country. That's why. And for the county executive to say otherwise, it's just, hey, you can disagree with me. I know he does. But you gotta be factual. You gotta put the facts out there. Right? That's like, when we're talking about the ICE agent shooting in Minnesota, let's wait for the investigation. Let's see what the investigation shows. Right? Let's get all the facts before we just start. And that goes for both sides. That goes for the left and the right. Let's get the facts out before we start labeling one way or the other. And I wish the county executive would just, again, if you want to make your argument, use facts, though. I mean, is it so difficult to use facts to make your argument? Then you've got to question your argument. 803-0930, star 930. If you have a comment on anything Michael said, we'd love to hear from you. Also, I'd love to hear, would you rather a month of cold weather like we've had or a month of August, Vegas in August? 803-0930, star 930. That and so much more. Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.